Have you all got puzzle pieces? Because there are a few spares here. Anyone not got a puzzle piece? Just raise your hand. Anyone? There we go, Jan. Thank you. You almost gave. Okay, there are comeback puzzle pieces, just so that you've got one in hand. There are a few more here, if anyone hasn't got one. But life's a bit of a puzzle, would you agree? And I just hope you don't feel that you the torn off piece. But have you ever asked the question, and this is a question that many of us, what on earth am I here for? The life's question, the big question, what on earth am I here for? Do I fit in? Is there a part? And what is my part? Where do I fit in? And a lot of what I felt on my heart this morning is, how many of you would know this particular book called Purpose Driven Life? It's by Rick Warren. This is the old front. It's got a new front on it. In fact, it looks a bit like this bag of Richard's there with the tree on it. And it's, I don't know how many of you would know that this book has sold 50 million copies. I'm not promoting a book to get book sales going, but it has been, since 2002 up to 2020, 50 million copies answering that question, what on earth am I here for? It's been translated into 85 languages, and it speaks into that question. It's really a 40-day personal journey, and it's a blueprint of Christian living, and it's based on God's eternal purposes, God's design, what He had in mind. I don't know why this, I was wondering what was behind me. And so it's speaking into that question and addressing that. And it's beyond cultural values that seem to change. It is a groundbreaking thing. It's a manifesto in many ways of the meaning of life. And I do encourage you to get a copy. I think it's less than £10. But I want to encourage you, because to take that 40-day devotional personal journey is a spiritual journey, and it will set you up for life, because we need to know the purpose for which we created. And is it just to breathe in oxygen, in some cases the carbon dioxide, when you light the fire? Do we just take up space, fill a seat? Hopefully not. But then possibly die, and then the worms eat us. Is that all there is? I hope there's a whole lot more than that. And there was a famous atheist by the name of Bertrand Russell, and he had something telling to say. Unless you assume a God, this is from an atheist, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. You've got to assume, it's got to start with God. And that's why when I think an interviewer said to Boris Johnson, do you believe in God? He was quiet for a moment because he thought, oh, nah. And the guy pressed him a few times. And then he actually quoted scripture. He quoted Psalm 14, verse 1. A fool in his heart says there's no God. He quoted that. So he was saying, I better be careful here. Whether I believe in a personal God is not the question, is the Bible, and he quoted scripture. Is he okay to scripture? I think fantastic that he knew that verse and he was prepared to say it. A fool in his heart says there's no God. And in fact, on university campus, when I was a student a long, long time ago, I used to have this thing, there is no God. And you can see all the students, yeah, yeah, and there's no God, yeah, yeah. And then on the back was, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So they would get the message, hopefully, if I walked that way. But so it starts with God. Colossians 1:16 in the Message translation, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. I think Jane was alluding that in her prayer this morning. Outside of Him, everything comes apart. In Him, everything holds together. As the words of the song go, it's all about You, Jesus. And all this is for You, for Your glory and Your fame. It's not about me. As if You should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to Your ways. You alone are God, and I surrender. You know, sometimes the world changes that. It's all about me. And in fact, the world's anthem and the song most played at funerals, which you've heard me say before, is, I did it my way. That's the song played at most funerals. Can you believe it? That's not what you created for. Proverbs 11:28 says, a life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. I love the fact that you've got a tree on your bag, Richard. And on the front of that book, Purpose-Driven Life. I suppose you could add to that, a life devoted to oneself is a dead life, a stump. But a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Ultimately, you are born by God's purpose and for His purpose. By His purpose, for His purpose. And for thousands of years, people have searched for the puzzle of life. You know, why is that? Why? Because we start at the wrong point. We start with ourselves. And what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, and my dreams for my future? And I think, you know, navel gazing or introspection, if you start looking in, you're not going to find the answers. Why won't you find the answers? Well, you didn't create yourself. You didn't create yourself, so there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. Think about that. That's a bit philosophical. You can't tell yourself what you were created for. You've got to go to the Creator. You've got to begin with God, and you can't start with self. And you only exist because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will not make sense. And friends, something that's very offensive, and I can remember even a family member reacting to this when I posted it. But I said, only one life and it will soon be passed. Only that which is done for Christ will last. Only that which is done for Christ will go into eternity and count for eternity. You know, we think, well, what am I putting my life into then? What, you know, what purpose and meaning beyond this brief burp in eternity, if I can call my life that? And so is it what I'm living for? Is it worth Christ dying for? It's only in him we find our origin, we find our identity, we find our meaning, we find our purpose, we find our significance, and we find our destiny. And life is about letting God use you for His purposes, not you using Him for your purposes. Would you agree? And I think a good question to ask, what's the big picture that God has in mind? Where does my puzzle piece fit in? And this is a beautiful puzzle piece, and I don't know if you've worked out what it is. There's a little clue. It's where all the animals in the world kind of find themselves. And it's a great picture. And I was quite tempted. Oh, that's a better one. Thank you, darling. It's got the names of the countries too, I think, or the animals. Yeah. So it's a pretty cool. And this is a comeback puzzle because Carol kindly lent it to me. So if there's one piece missing, how many of you have been frustrated if you do a puzzle and there's one piece missing? And in the same way, God, look around you. If there's an empty chair, it's like God doesn't want anyone missing. Each part linked in, each part having a part. And where does your part fit in? Where does your puzzle piece fit in? When God created you, what did He have in mind? And I remember Kim Walker. She's one of the original vocalists of Jesus Culture. And she asked God that question. And it's a question God loves to answer. She asked two questions, actually, in a worship moment. She said, God, how much do you love me? And what are you thinking about when you made me? I think those are great questions. Questions I encourage you to ask. And God showed her in a very, very powerful way. She had grown up with, do you know what an elastodoll is or elastor thing? It's like these things that stretch, you know, the arms just stretch into infinity. What do you call them? Stretch Armstrong, that kind of thing. They're just stretchy, stretchy, stretch. And she saw this thing, just the arms just stretching into eternity, well, infinity, just stretching. And that was what God was saying to her, how much I love you. How, you know, just as far as you could see those arms stretching, like as far as the east is from the west, that kind of never ends, the love that God had towards her. And then she said, well, what were you thinking about when you made me? And God showed her, there's a vision or a picture, but of this, many girls would relate to this, when you have a jewelry box, and you have the precious kind of jewelry in it, and you open it, and it's a musical jewelry box. And as you open it, there's a ballerina who starts to dance, and you've got the mirror and the ballerina dancing. And what she saw in this vision was God and the Father and the Son, and they would nudge each other, and they would say, take a look at this. And as they would open it, the ballerina would start to dance to the music. And that was what God had in mind when he created her, that she would worship, that she would dance, that she would sing, that she would bring music, that she would bring delight and pleasure to her Father in heaven. And the Father was taking such delight in her with the Son, saying, take a look at this. And then just opened the box and just was reveling in the delight of seeing her dance and sing, the purpose for which she was created. And so, friends, when I look at asking that question, what did God have in mind? And unfortunately, the world, you look on any, even Christian bookstores, self-help kind of advice that fills the shelves and often predictable things to setting or finding your life's purpose. Consider your dreams. Clarify your values. Set some goals. Figure what you're good at. Aim high. Go for it. Be disciplined. Believe you can achieve your goals. Involve others. Aim high. Never give up. That sounds like Winston Churchill. But those do lead to great success in the eyes of the world. And if you usually set your mind to something, you will achieve it. However, being successful and fulfilling your life's purposes are not the same issue. You could reach all your personal goals, be seen as successful, but still miss the purpose for which God created you. Does that make sense? It's quite a statement. You see, we need more than self-help advice. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 25, in the Message, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. The way up is the way down. We humble ourselves and God lifts us up. And it's that purpose for which God created us. And to become what God created you to be will require turning to God and what he's revealed in his word. That's why when I mention a book, friends, this is the Bible, really. When I say that, it's got 1,200 quotes from Scripture. 1,200. It's couching your purpose, your life meaning. And the kind of chapters that it touches on are great. And I think for the next while as a church, we need to go through some of these. You were created or planned for God's pleasure. You were formed for God's family. You were created to become like Christ. You were shaped for serving God. You were made for a mission. That's a good starting point. And it's just using Scripture to bring and couch that and bring it home. So God's the source of it. We can't really look to the world for wisdom or to Dr. Phil or Oprah or whoever the self-help gurus are today or the vlogs or the blogs. There's a lot of promotional stuff out there. People share their lives online. And people are inspired. Wow, these people are traveling. This family is doing this. This family is doing that. Wow, look at that. Look at this. And yet, it's somebody else's life. It's not the God life that God had in mind for you and for me. And I think Jesus spoke about, don't build your house on a sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. It might be kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice and you'll have to build your house once more. See, we're doing more children's songs. And he's speaking about himself, the rock. Not just any rock, the rock of ages, the rock that stood for, and that's not Dwayne Johnson for the younger guys who think there's another rock. There's only one rock, and that's Jesus. He's the rock from eternity past to eternity future. And in Ephesians 1:11, the Message translation says, and puts it this way, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. And part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Don't you love that? I love the way it puts that. It's in him we find out who we are and what we're living for. And there's three insights into your purpose. It's in Christ, one, we discover our identity and our purpose. He's created us for relationship. And that comes through his Son. And secondly, to quote Rick Warren, the second thing that is an insight into your purpose. God was thinking about you long before you ever thought about him. His purpose for you predates your conception. He planned it before you existed, without your input. You may get to choose your career, your spouse, your hobbies, and many other parts of your life, but you don't get to choose your purpose. God sets that. And then thirdly, the purpose of your life is a puzzle piece that fits into a much larger picture. Not a 60-piece picture, but something like 1,000 plus. I mean, like how many billion Christians are there on the planet? Probably 2 billion plus. But I mean, here's a 1,000-piece puzzle with a beautiful, this is an artist, you could put up the picture on the screen if you want, a painter of light. He's a Christian artist who loves to use light to just explore, because there's something about it. It just looks inviting, it looks warm, it looks, God is light. And so when you use the medium of light to paint, you're reflecting God. You're reflecting and expressing something of who God is. I love that. But anyway, it's a 1,000-piece puzzle that we haven't got to yet. So your purpose of life is a puzzle piece that fits into a much larger picture and cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. And without God, life just doesn't make sense. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Colossians 1:16. It's about living for God, not ourselves. And so friends, as I wrap up this morning, because it's a shorter family service, it's not just believing in God. It's about belonging, finding our part. Because the strength alone will never, do you know that? The strongest person will never equal the sum of the parts. Does that make sense? You've got one individual, but if that individual is teamed in with another and another and another, man, the strength of the parts is always going to be greater than the strength of the individual. Better together. When we do life together, friends, that's the way God designed it. When we connected well together, when we connected to God, if I had Duplo blocks, I'd love to connect a Duplo block with representing connecting to God and then connecting with others and connecting in terms of the wider. And your relationship to Christ is personal, but it's not private. God never intends it to be private. In God's family, we are connected to every other believer. That's why the Bible says, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other saints. I know my body is not my own. It does belong to my wife, but it belongs to all of you too, in a sense, because we are connected. Life is meant to be shared. It is better together. And Colossians 3:15, each of you is part of the body of Christ and you were chosen to live together in peace. We created for community. And I think the ultimate expression of the community that God had in mind and the love in that community is the Trinity. When we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. We created in God's image. The Godhead and in His likeness, in His in His image. And then as I land with the last verse, God longs for you to discover the life He created you to live here on earth and forever in eternity. Ephesians 1:11, also Message translation. It's in Christ that we found out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. Amen. Did it kind of come up like that? So that's who God's created us to be, in Christ and connected together. Friends, I'd love you to, it's been a kind of child, kind of family meeting this morning with there's a song that kind of Lauren Daigle song, you might be familiar with it. And there's a young girl doing sign to that. And somehow, just watching her do the sign language to the song, it reinforces what God, I believe, is wanting to say this morning. And so maybe you can just flight that, Speedy, and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you.
Father, we thank You for Your truth that has been shared this morning, God. Thank You that You have created us all with a plan and a purpose, God. And however we were conceived and however we were brought into the world, God, thank You that You don't make mistakes, God. Thank You that You only have the best plans in mind for us, Father. And I pray that we would seek You, God. I pray that we would be people who are willing to live for You and to die for ourselves, God. Father, we just want to offer ourselves before you this morning, God. We ask that you would have your way in our lives, God. We ask that we would see your kingdom come and your will be done, God. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us, God. We thank you that we can know you. We thank you that we can have relationship with you, Father. And we honor you, God. We want to honor you with everything that we have, with everything that we are. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Something about out of the mouths of babes and infants with that girl just signing that song. You know, first I thought she was hearing impaired, but actually she obviously has a sibling. And she's learned how to express love. God, help us to express love like she's expressing it. That it would impact those who seem to be the world that seems to be deaf to your love and can't hear it, possibly can't see it. Help us to show it. Help us to be your hands and your feet and acts of kindness and love. By this, you'll know that we are your disciples by our love for one another. Help us to express that love, Lord, in our marriages, in our families, in our lives and in our workplace, Lord, place of study. God, help us to show your love. In Jesus' name, amen.